Chris, get up. We have three great presentations looming on assistive technology, and you have an AT Tipscast to do. Oh, sorry. This is Sally Norton Darr, and our presentations are listed on the WordPress blog. I have some packing to do. Meanwhile, you're listening to AT Tipscast. Happy New Year.
Welcome to the AT Tipscast, exploring and investigating different implementation of assistive technology in public schools. I'm your host, Chris Bouguet. This is episode number 26, recorded on January 3rd, 2009. This episode features the first of two parts of a special interview with Tim Calabrese, who is currently the manager of operation analysis for the Office of Pupil Transportation for the New York City Department of Education. The interview was so jam-packed with goodness that I decided to split it up into two episodes. During this first part of the interview, Tim and I talk a little bit about how the transportation needs of students in special education are met in a city as large as New York City. The idea of organizing the transportation needs for the school system of one of the largest cities in the world is a bit mind-boggling to me. Tim explains how it's all done and provides some insights on how this relates to special education. The second part of the interview turns into more of a brainstorming session about ideas on how to implement technology to make the journey to and from school an educational experience. The interview doesn't necessarily feature a concrete tip per se, but it does raise some interesting ideas about transportation. So, for the sake of consistency, I'm going to call the ideas embedded in this two-part interview as AT Tip number 38, Technology During Transport. I am here today doing this interview with Tim Calabrese, who's in New York City. Is that right, Tim?
That's right. Speaking from Brooklyn.
We are here to talk about transportation today. So before we get started in talking about transportation, can you just kind of give everybody the little background on what you do and who you are?
My name is Tim Calabrese. I work for the New York City Department of Education. I'm in the Office of Pupil Transportation, and I am a manager of operations analysis. What that means is that I look for new and better ways to manage the pupil transportation operation. And my specific target is using better mapping technology.
So how long have you been doing this job?
Not for very long, about 6 months. There's a lot to learn. In New York City is an incredibly complicated machine. So there's been a great learning curve, and I'm really enjoying the pants off of it. It's fantastic.
I imagine New York City to me is just so enormous, and to think that there's like public schools that have school buses and that you have to pick up every single student and drop off every single student as well. It's kind of mind-boggling how you do that. I mean, can you kind of summarize it up for how it works for us?
Well, we don't pick up and drop off every student. We actually only pick up and drop off a small percentage of students. There's over a million students in the New York City public school system, or school system, I should say.
Wow.
We have lots of public schools, thousands of public schools. We also have thousands of non-public schools that range from all sorts of charter schools and non-religious schools to all kinds of Catholic schools, Jewish yeshivas, Islamic schools, and other Christian schools of all sorts. And we also provide a lot of the busing to those non-public schools as well. But in New York City, most students walk to school. Schools are in their neighborhood, and many of them walk to school every day. Also in New York City, many students that are over seventh grade also, instead of walking, may take public transportation to school. So they may hop the subway, or they may take a city bus. And, when I go to work in the morning, it's very common for me to be riding on the subway with, a bunch of eighth graders going to school.
That totally makes sense, right? I mean, I guess I'd never really thought of it before. You just kind of picture the big yellow school bus and students getting on it. But, obviously would it be walkers as well, but I guess a large percent would take
public transportation and walking in New York
City. We have great public transportation in New York City. There's no way that we can duplicate everything that the public transportation system already does. So we work with them and try to use that leverage to provide services. But we still do bus a very large number of students. We our general education population, we bus 90,000 students to over 1,200 schools. That's about 2,000 bus routes that we operate every day. And that's the general education population. For the special education population, we have 58,000 students going to 2,000 different schools. And that means about 4,500 bus routes every day.
So in it sounds like you actually have a larger special ed population, I mean, more bus routes. It's almost like more work to do special education busing than general education.
Absolutely. Special education, the transportation needs of the special education population are far more challenging than the general education population. For general ed, you can...
Like what?
Well, the needs of special ed students are far more varied than a general education. In general education, in a nutshell, you can place a bus stop in a central location, and a lot of children can walk to that bus stop, and you pick them all up at the same time and transport them to where they need to go. But for the special needs of special ed students, we pick up from the home and drop the child off at the school, we pick up at the school and drop the child off at their home. Although in the afternoon, oftentimes there is a different drop-off location in the afternoon. So for example, many special ed students go from school to some other kind of after-school program to administer for their needs. And so that would be a different location than home that they would have to go to. So we're actually managing not just one pickup and drop-off location per student, but two pickup and drop-off locations for students in the special ed. Also, there's all kinds of special needs that are required. Some special ed students require escorts, so we're actually transporting not just the student, but also the escort, which means you have to make sure that you have enough seats on the bus for that escort. Some students can only their IEP states that they should only be on the bus for a limited amount of time. So you have to make very sure when you're creating a route that that student is on for a limited time, which may lengthen the time that other students have to be on that bus. There's all kinds of different equipment.
Right.
There's all kinds of different wheelchairs, oxygen tanks, so on and so forth that need to be fit on the bus. And what the equipment needs equate to is the variety of different kinds of buses that you have in your fleet. There's all kinds of different buses that have a ramp for certain types of wheelchairs, and then maybe a lift for different kinds of wheelchairs. And the arrangement of seats within the bus to allow for certain types of equipment to fit in there are all going to be different. So routing the specific type of bus to the specific type of need is really the challenge. And just to continue on with some of the incredible diversity of special needs is you have all kinds of physical disabilities, cognitive disabilities, and social and emotional disabilities that all come under this umbrella of special education. And not only that, but you have some
right.
disabilities that are permanent and then others that are temporary. You may have a child that needs busing from their whole school life, from kindergarten to 12th grade. And other students who need special ed busing because they broke their leg, and it's a temporary condition, and then, you know, when it heals, they'll be back to walking or taking the subway.
So how do you manage all of that? I mean, that just sounds completely complex. I mean, do you have some sort of, little hamster in a wheel that runs some sort of machine that kind of figures it out for you, or... I don't know what. How does it
well,
work?
We have a great team of very experienced routers. These are people that, number one, know the geography of the city like the back of their hand because they really need to be able to look at the the distribution of the locations of students, group them based on their needs, and then also group them on their destinations as well. So it's not only the location where they live, but also routing them properly so that they all get to their destinations as well. They really, you know, in the morning you only have a maximum of 2 hours or an hour and a half to be able to get all these kids to school, and you only have so many buses to be able to do it with. So these guys work incredibly hard to make sure that that everybody gets on the bus, the right bus route, and they also use some mapping technology to help group things together and sequence the pickup locations in a proper way that will facilitate the bus route to get to school on time.
Tim, what kind of challenges that you face there in New York City do you think are, you know, would you say global or universal around the country, and what would be more particular challenges just because you happen to be living or because you're working in New York City?
Well, I would imagine that every transportation unit, every pupil transportation unit, their main difficulty is pairing their resources with the needs of the students. And everybody is going to have to deal with the fact that there's a finite number of buses with a finite amount of service and equipment service and a finite amount of time to actually transport the students. But there can be a great variety of specific needs that change from year to year because the student population is changing from year to year. So obviously you can't just get rid of your buses because a certain type of need is not present in the student population this year. It may be back next year. But so in that sense,
right.
So in,
or even mid-year.
Exactly. So in that sense, I don't think that New York City faces any challenges that other school systems don't. I just think that because our population is so dense and so large, that we just have more of the problems to deal with than maybe other school systems that only deal with a small subset of the numbers of needs, meeting the needs of a smaller number of people. So for example, in New York City, we have this many students, and there will be amongst this population of 58,000 students, there will be cases where you have a student in a wheelchair who lives on the sixth floor of a six-floor walk-up building and needs to be transported by hand down the stairs every morning and up the stairs every evening.
And that is the first part of the interview. The next episode of the AT Tips Cast will feature the second and final part of the interview. Tim and I get into a discussion about using the time during transport for educational purposes. Drop me a line and let me know what you thought of the interview. I'll pass the feedback on to Tim as well. You can contact me via email at attipscast@gmail.com. Also, you can look up the AT Tippers group on Facebook and Classroom 2.0 and leave me a message there. Finally, I'd like to thank Sally Norton Darr for providing the soundbite you heard at the beginning of this episode. As she mentions, Sally will be the colleague I'm presenting with during the upcoming NARIN, VISTI, and NEC conferences. You can find links to all those conferences at the compendium blog site, attipscast.wordpress.com. Sally and I both hope you can make it out to at least one of those conferences so we can meet you in person. Until next time, may all your interventions be inclusive, and may all your strategies be supportive.